Monday, May 28, 1984, Salem Chapel, Peterborough, anniversary services, Mr. Wood.
Eternal purpose, arise or come. this afternoon that love of these things and God's children as Magnus and Man. And this Isaac neglected, ignored it, had no time for it, had no understanding of it. However, there may be some that may be under the preaching of the word moved in their mind and in their hearts in a natural way under some sense of the conviction of the truth of God's word, and yet still remain dead in trespasses and in sin. Now look at the heart of this minister of the gospel. I pray that we may know more of it today. As Paul looked upon this assembly before whom he stood, Festus, Agrippa, a leading man of the city, his prayer here was this. His earnest desire was this, for the greatest blessing that can be known by a poor sinner on earth. I would to God that not only that, that is the river, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. So we can picture the apostle lifting up his mantle wrists and saying, yes, I wish you all, though you are leaders of this city, though you are the king of Britain, though Festus you are a ruler, though you have much power, and you look on me as a prisoner, a lonely man, with none standing by me, yet I have joy that you know not of. I possess in my soul the word of grace, this Jesus is mine, and no greater blessing can I seek for you all, though you cannot understand it, though you would not in natural ways exchange lots with me. Yes, as Paul has said, to this effect, that I have what you have not. I have happiness in my soul. I have the peace of God in my heart. I have this Jesus as my Savior. I am a born again sinner. I am redeemed of a precious blood. But this Jesus is mine. That heaven is mine. That he will be with me right at the end of the journey. That it is well with my soul. And I would to God that not only that thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost altogether such as I am, except that these bonds. This expression of farewell the souls, love the sinners, is seen again and heard And to say that by the grace of God, I am here, and the better you all, I have not come to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And that, if you are spiritually healthy and spiritually healthy, will be your desire. You're praying, dear minister, don't hold back, don't share. Speak all that truth, those words of truth and soberness, and do not water down the word, but speak that word. Show us our sin in the declaration of it, that the Spirit may reveal it to us, and speak to us, for sinners of earth, of that precious Jesus, of that wonderful God, of that precious blood shed on the cross, of that fountain that is open for sin and for uncleanness. Now, friend, and come back again to the question a little further: where do you stand? How stands the case? My soul with thee, the heaven of thy credentials clear, in Jesus' blood thy only plea is in thy grave or unabandoned, such as I am. You see, friends, there's such a danger of resting on something that falls short of Jesus Christ. That falls short of Jesus Christ. And what does fall short of Jesus Christ? Well, we may sit under the truth. We may have a denominational name. We may appear to be a Christian, but destitute of that work of grace in our soul, of that precious oil, that vital possession. Does that pain to you? Do you say, I wish you wouldn't speak like that? Friend, Jesus said forth so clearly, so solemnly, so separatingly, these things. My dear people at home have heard me lately refer to the words of Jesus that have brought great exercise and concern to my soul. The circumstance was this. Jesus came into Jerusalem and they cried, Hosanna, Hosanna. That night following, it seems that our Savior retired into that quietness and doubtless communion with his Father. The next morning, he returned to Jerusalem. We read of his sinless humanity, that he was hungry. That's a mystery, and yet a revealed mystery. He came to a fig tree, expecting to find fruit. Another mystery. That word speaking of Jesus as the man. We know that as God is deity, he knows all. But speaking as I feel that word does, as a man, he came expecting to find fruit. What did he find? Friend, if he came to you, what will you find? What did you find in the fig tree? Nothing but leaves. Nothing but leaves. There can be many, many leaves. Much in the way of the name of religion. Much of man's tradition. Much of denominational phraseology. like days that the plumage and the barns, they were all mingled together, and it wasn't till the cry came, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him," that the distinction was discovered. What did it show? Wouldn't it be terrible? A young man, that's fresh in the world, to come to that day, destitute of his grace, and say, "Lord, but I've been with him, I've been in the streets, I've spoken in my name, I've prophesied, and that he depart from me, I never knew him." How close this time is. And friend, you'll desire to do so, don't you? Those who are exercised concerning the ever dying son, he won't hurt you. He won't harm you. If your religion is a real one, he's understanding that the greatest test that can be made, a real religion will ever abide a fire, will abide searching and sifting and wheeling and shaking and temptations and everything that is thrown against it. But that which is man-made, my friend, it shrinks, it's dead, it's artificial, and it will never stand. There's no root to it. There's no love in it. There's no word of grace there. Do you see? All without it. These things are so solid. Another year has passed away. And I think of those words, "How shall we escape if we think back so great a salvation?" I'm talking to a dear minister recently. And he was preaching somewhere in the country, and a heavy rain, and a lot of cyclists were sheltered by the chapel in the rain. And that was his text. And he has paid forth and threw out his voice and observed that one leader. We never know the purpose. And we must leave those cyclists. We must leave others for the minute. We must come to you. Is it well with your soul? I said last night, I didn't preach on these words, they formed, I think, practically my closing remark. The text was then that the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Many take that name and have no right whatsoever to it. A Christian is a born again And what did he do? He gave me the details of the fire. Yes. And then another phone call because he thought, no, that's something better. He made quite sure that I shouldn't go astray. I shouldn't misunderstand what he's so upset because he loved me. And he was that sir. And I shouldn't have any difficulty as long as he could concern the journey. But if we do that, and rightly so, in those things, simple things of life, then what is a minister to do when he has before him never dying souls, heaven and hell, those two paths, one broad, and many walking therein, on one narrow, where few there are? And you may say, but it's not the minister that saves, he's powerless. True, and praise God for that. It would be a poor affair if we had conversions of ours. But it has pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And I pray in the ministry we may be helped to preach ever with eternity before us, the cross before our eyes, the sufferings of Christ, the preciousness of the blood, the weight of ever-dying souls, the judgment seat, the hour of death, and my friend, that we may be helped to preach in that fervency of the Spirit, not in fleshly excitement, but with the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. That's a wonderful word in the conclusion of the Gospel according to Mark. And they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord, working with them, confirmed the word with signs for it. The minister is the trumpet, if you like, and the gospel is the sound that goes through the trumpet. The minister is the vessel.